So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. And the Washington Huskies are 8-2 on the season. They have moved up to 15th in the country after this past weekend. What an exhilarating victory over number 6, the Oregon Ducks. 37-34. Let's welcome in the first-year head coach of the Washington Huskies, and that is Kalen DeBoer back on the Zach Gelb Show. Coach, congrats on the win. Appreciate the time. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, I appreciate you coming back on. How do you put it into perspective what that win means for your program?
It's huge. It's not just another game. It's one of the couple games on the schedule that I know our fans all circle, and it's a great rivalry. It's fun to be a part of, awesome atmosphere, whether it's home or away, and super proud of the way our guys performed, and especially in the critical moments. And it's nice to add another win to our win column in the big picture of the season.
You guys started off the year 4-0, and then had to overcome some adversity, losing back-to-back games against UCLA and Arizona State. Now you have reeled it back in on a 4-game winning streak, 8-2. How did you guys prevent the ship from sinking when you lost those back-to-back games against the Bruins and the Sun Devils?
Yeah, I have to credit our staff and credit the kids. Just, we had a few things that just didn't go our way. We lost a couple close games, a couple one-score games. And, We still believe that we have a pretty solid team. We were battling a couple injuries and things like that, but we weren't to that point, as a first year staff, and kind of everyone still coming together to be able to get through those times. And since then, we've really responded and continue to stay focused on the right things. And one game at a time, we've just kind of gone about, taking care of business. And we've won some close ones here as of late. Continues to show the fight that our guys have.
I know each year is different, but usually when you go through a losing streak, you rely on previous experiences to pull you out of it. I know you've been doing this for a long time, but as a head coach, Kalen DeBoer, you've only lost 11 games. You're 87-11. Do you even know how to deal with losing when it happens?
There's only a couple speeches I guess I would go to. You got to evaluate the situation and figure out what the kids need to hear to learn from and to help them move on. Unfortunately, there's been a couple of those this year, but overall, I've been real lucky.
To be 8-2, first year in, and you kind of touched upon it. We had Sonny Dykes on a few weeks ago, and they're undefeated. They're having a heck of a season, the Horned Frogs. And he goes, you never really know what to expect your first year with the program. Is this surprising to you that your squad is 8-2?
Not completely. I felt like there was a lot of talent already in the roster. We got some high character kids that have seen what a conference championship looks like back in 2018. With COVID, a lot of those guys are still around. And, we added some great pieces. Mike Penix, quarterback, and few other spots, have really got us over the hump, and we've been able to, play, I think, more balanced football, offense, defense, special teams each and every week as we've grown, we keep adding to our schemes and add to our packages in all areas, and the guys just are really enjoying the growth that we've had as a team.
You really have a mentally tough team, because the building that you were going into in Eugene, They had a 23-game home win streak. You got to have a mentally tough team to go in there and prevail through the ups and downs of a game like that. What did you sense from your team leading up to the week, and did you see that mental toughness heading into the game?
Yeah, that is absolutely a huge strength of ours. We talked about that even in the games in the first four when we jumped out to big leads and it kind of the gap started closing on us maybe a little bit. The two losses we had, we were in deficits of 14 and even more points, in the first half and early third quarter. And our guys just have always battled, and so they've looked back on those experiences, learned from it. We won a couple of close ones. Oregon State, we were behind pretty much all but the last about 12 seconds of the game here at our stadium 2 weeks ago. So I have no doubt that those experiences and the trust that they have in each other and the belief, is there. And it's just a matter of just being able to not be overwhelmed by the moment. And our guys do a good job of just controlling what they can control.
Coach Kalen DeBoer here with us with the Washington Huskies off their big win against Oregon. I hate to ask the how does it feel type of question to any coach because we know that you're in a great mood after a win like that. But for your kicker especially, I know you weren't there, but in 2018 he missed the potential game-winning kick against Oregon. To have him bounce back all those years later and get a little redemption, just what goes through your mind when you hear about that story and you see it unfold?
Yeah, I couldn't be more happy for Peyton Henry, our kicker. He's a senior. He did kick a chip shot, but a game-winning field goal against Oregon State here, a couple weeks ago. And I did not realize probably the details of what happened in 2018 until probably the last couple weeks. Knew that there was a kick that was missed at some point. Knew it was at Oregon. The magnitude probably of those details, I just probably, didn't understand it. Now I do. And that's when you just can't be, as a coach, more happier for someone who's fought through that and came out on the right end. And he's such a good kid. Our entire team's happy for him.
Someone that's also overcome adversity, Coach Kalen DeBoer, has been your quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. We know he's always had the talent in Indiana, but he's had to go through a lot of injuries. To see the year that he's having, a career year for you guys, just what really is the way that you could describe his play and kind of tell his story?
Yeah, a lot of the things I've just said, where we're overcoming the tough times of a game. A lot of it's spearheaded by Michael and what he does leading our offense and leading our team. And I think that's just a small piece of what he's gone through in his career, with the injuries and continue to fight back and, people maybe not counting you in, but thinking that you can get it done, but he just keeps plugging away, and he's super talented, really just doing an awesome job of balancing the intensity that you need to lead. The lead by example piece, he's vocal, when he needs to be. And then, he's just a fun guy to be around for our team. And, he's gelled in the short amount of time here. It's super cool to see.
10 games into a new job, you clearly have to trust your players, but on the other end, your players have to trust you. How did you guys really develop and build that trust as a program so quickly?
Yeah. I mean, just hiring the right people to be around you. Your support, and in that case, my support and the staff that we have here, just the egos left at the door when they walk into a room, and the decisions we make aren't about who's making the decision, who gets the credit. I know most of the staff, or I've known most of the staff for quite some time. Many I coached with for a few years, some even longer, and when the tough moments come, I think our players really see our staff gel together and come together, and that trickles down to them, and that's how they operate when those tough times come as well.
Kalen DeBoer, you had a good situation at Fresno State, and you're doing a heck of a job. We know Washington is a big job, but why was it the right job for you?
Well, I think just like Fresno, it's got that winning tradition. Got a great support, whether it be the fan base, the community, and stands for the right things. just, you know, I think when you look at over the many decades of success that have happened here and the way the alumni just care so much about this program, you can't help but want to be a part of it. And add the resources, an awesome athletic director like Jan Cohen and a president who are all aligned in what we want to do here at UW. It's a special place and so fortunate to be a part of it.
What have you learned about yourself taking this new job first 10 games in year one?
I just feel like continue to be verified that, you know, if you just keep plugging away and take care and do the things that you can take care of the things at the best of your ability each and every day. They stack on top of themselves, and it's amazing how far you can come in a week and 2 weeks and a month. And now really over the course of a whole year, you know, every day is not going to be easy. And so I think just a lot of that feeling that I've felt at different places, you know, with different jobs, just continues to be verified that that's really the only way to go about it.
In the Oregon game, Dan Lanning, with 1:26 to go, as you know, elected to go for it at his own 34 on 4th-and-1. Clearly, you guys made the stop. Did that surprise you? Did that catch you off guard a little bit?
Not really. You know, just looking at their season and how aggressive they've been, you know, in all ways, offensively, whether it be onside kicks, you know, special teams. That's just the way that they've been as a team all year. Big games, home games, away games. They've been in their own side of the field and gone for it. And that was, you know, one of the three, I believe, that they went for. And the other two, I thought we were really close. You know, we were really close, and we made them earn the extra inches that they took for them to get the first downs. And that one, you know, we had it dialed up pretty good, and it was a big moment, and our guys came through.
What did you say to your team after the game in the locker room when you guys were celebrating?
Just that these are the moments that you're going to talk about, you know, years and years and years down the road. You know, and nothing, no one can ever take this away from you. It's about the memories and the journey that you're on that really matters, because there's going to come an end to what we do. There's an end to that game. There's going to be an end to your career, you know, football. You know, hopefully it's beyond college, but you know, these relationships, the memories, the journey we're on, this is all going to be something we can talk about, you know, way down the road. It's going to pretty much a moment that's brought us a lot closer together as well.
The conference has really had a heck of a year, and there's a lot of good teams in this conference, the Pac-12. We know USC and UCLA are on their way out. Just how do you kind of think about Washington's spot in the future of what's been a lot of changes in the moving landscape of college football with realignment?
Yeah, I think we're comfortable with a lot of directions that it could go. I just feel like we have so much to offer. We're a special, you know, and I mean, I don't want to, you know, kind of say it's all about us, but, you know, we have, you know, the tradition and the fan base. And, you know, I think the success over time will continue to keep us in a great spot to where, you know, we'll be just fine.
We know it's a heck of a program, and that's been proven throughout the years. But if a recruit asks you, Coach, what's your vision? What do you think Washington's football is going to look like the next 4 years if I commit to you? What do you say to that recruit?
Yeah, we have a couple of national championship trophies sitting in our complex already, you know, and many conference championships. And that just shows you right there that it can happen. And, you know, we're about 15 points away, and can look at it a lot of different ways, but we're about 15 points away from, you know, being undefeated at this time. And, you know, we're not. And so that's the reality of it, of what it is. But, you know, big things have happened a lot of years in this program, and we will continue to have that happen. It's got the foundation. It's got, like I said, the resources. And of course, most importantly, it's got the people. You know, I got the staff and the people that are supporting me, you know, through athletic directors, president and so forth. So we're in a great spot. Expect big things down the road.
Last thing I'll ask you, when it comes to college football playoff expansion, it's trending towards 12 teams. We'll see when that goes into effect. Just what are your thoughts on expanding the college football playoff?
I mean, from our standpoint, I think it's great. I love and being the guy that coached small college football, you know, where the playoffs are a big piece of what you really look forward to. It's a new season. It's a special time. and that happens usually in November, December. And, you know, it kind of felt like that a little bit. But I think the playoffs, the thing about playoffs is it's kind of a win or go home, you know, and the pressure and the magnitude of rooting for teams, and you're whether you're a fan or, you know, you're working on the staff or a player, man, there's not a lot of things that are equivalent to, you know, playoff football. And, you know, that last opportunity that you get to, and not knowing if it's going to be your last game or if you're going to continue to move on. So I'm excited about that and hope that opportunity comes here soon.
What do you think the right number is? Because my one fear, I think four has worked out, you know, more than fine. My one fear is that it takes away from some of these big rivalry games and some of these big regular season games that we build up for all throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, we're obviously, when we talk about expansion, talking about more than four. And, you know, I don't know exactly what that number is. That's beyond me. There's much smarter people that are figuring that out. But, the number is thrown around is, 12 a lot. And so, that's kind of the number I got in my head, you know. And so you kind of think about how many games and what that would look like, and be fun to be a part of that.
Well, Coach, congratulations on the win up against Oregon. Good luck this upcoming weekend against Colorado. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
We are Commanders. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. And the Commanders, after a win last night against the Philadelphia Eagles, dropped the Eagles to 8-1 in the year. The Commanders, after starting 2-4 with Carson Wentz, whose career came and went, are now 5-5, 3-1 under Taylor Heinicke. Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Commanders, is happy to see the hard work that the team has put in getting rewarded.
It resonates with those guys. I mean, you hear them in the locker room right now, and the hard work is beginning to pay off. You know, things have turned the corner. That's starting to pay off. You know, our young guys are stepping up. Defoe making the plays that he did. The guys on special teams, the young guys that play on special teams contribute, making plays.
Let's hear Ron Rivera say Taylor Heinicke's decision-making is improving.
There's one thing that he's learning, you know, take what's given. The interception he threw, he had a couple underneath guys he could have gone with, but, you know, he went for the home run.
Hickey, when we get to the decision of next week, this is a no-brainer, right? I think it's a no-brainer. You got to start Taylor Heinicke. I'm not saying for the rest of the year, but until he shows you that it's not going the way that you thought it was going to go. They're 3-1 with him, 2-4 with the other guy in Carson Wentz. This is a no-brainer to me. For next week, bare minimum, you have to play Taylor Heinicke.
Without a doubt, and it's not even talent-wise. Like, look at the way the team responds to him. Like, it's
his,
like,
stats haven't been sensational.
No.
He's been making the timely throws. He's been showing good leadership. And that team just really rallies behind him.
There's a real juice when he's on the field compared to McCarson. Like, remember that Bears game a few weeks ago? Like, how ugly that was? Like, it's not like Taylor Heineke's lighting it up. And like I said, playing great or the stats look great. But there's a true energy you see around the entire team that's more spirited, there's more effort when he's out there compared to Carson Wentz.
Even the game against the Colts, not to bring up a bad memory, when he threw that ball right to Terry McLaurin and boom, right at the goal line. You know, he's not great. He's not going to have these prodigious stats whatsoever. But you look at wins and losses, there's just a different feel about Heineke compared to Wentz, who definitely has more talent than Heineke, but he never puts it all together. If Carson Wentz was having a great season and then he got hurt, I would say, yeah, obviously you go back to Carson Wentz. But he wasn't having a great season. They were 2-4, and he wasn't playing great. He was turning over the football.
I think the plane ride is all you need to know about how the team feels and all you need to know about...
They gave him the Kirk Cousins treatment with the chains.
Who should be the quarterback? The guy in the chains drinking the Bush Light out of a makeshift cooler is all you need to know.
And notice who was standing right next to him demanding a picture. Chase, to get a picture with Young. Taylor Heineke.
Mm-hmm.
And team he makes leader. A return next week. Let's hear Taylor Heineke give his reaction to the game-winning roughing the passer call, which was a little bit controversial.
When I took that knee and I saw them kind of still coming at me, I was hoping they would hit me, and sure enough, they did. So it was a mistake on their end, but hey, you know, we'll live with it.
This is so tough to break down because the reaction makes me not want to see him get the penalty flag. The way the rule is written, though, it is a penalty. Like, they did hit Taylor Heineke late when he took a knee and intentionally went down and gave himself up. And then Brandon Graham hit him. It's kind of tough to stop momentum in that moment. Graham probably could have avoided him. I didn't think it had to get called. But since it did get called, I can't say that I'm irate about it and it's the wrong call. But to see a guy get up and go crazy over that because then the game is over, it's like, that's really there to protect the quarterback. And then the guy's making a mockery because he's using the protection of the quarterback rules to his advantage. But I guess you could just say then good on Heineke, Ryan.
Heady play, if you want to say that. The guy just wins. He finds different ways to win.
But would you agree in some extent that when you see him get up and celebrate, when you think of that being a penalty, you think a quarterback throwing the ball, then getting clobbered and like lying on his back saying, oh, I'm in so much pain. They just hit me late. When the guy gets up and does a fist pump as if he just threw a 60-yard touchdown pass, it's like, I would have been fine if they would have kept that flag in the pocket.
I mean, it's more a mental mistake, which is, you know, it's the same thing if a guy jumps off sides when you try to make him jump, right? Same celebration.
I guess, but it's just different when it comes to hitting the quarterback. Because we look for things that are egregious for that to warrant a flag.
Well, you
that
think
wasn't egregious.
That's the issue.
It doesn't get called that way.
The quarterback is officiated different than every other person, as you know, on the field.
Yes. There is no doubt about it. Let's go to Nick Sirianni. He says the Eagles will rebound after their first loss.
We've started 8-0 together. We lost this game together, and we're going to move on together. And we'll get better from this.
And together next week, they will play the Indianapolis Colts. Hickey, I think this is going to be a miserable spot for your football team. Now, Jonathan Taylor could run the football, but Matt Ryan's a statue back there. I think that Eagles pass rush is going to put a number on one Matt Ryan.
I'm very intrigued. I don't think it's going to... Right now, I'm not saying massacre. I think the Eagles win.
Oh, you're such a flip-flopper.
No.
Wait, what do you mean? A few weeks ago, Zach, the Colts are still a good team. Give them credit. You're an idiot. You're a moron. And you're a dope. And I'm telling you to tank. Then when they finally get rid of Frank Reich, and then when they go to Sam Ellinger, it's tank.
That's right.
And now after one win against the pathetic Las Vegas Raiders to get you to 4-5-1 in the season, you're intrigued. You are
this
such
is
a
This is not even
sucker.
About the Colts.
You're a sucker.
First of all, I didn't say the Colts are winning. I never said those words.
No, but I know how you meant that. Now you're going to spin
it. I think
it.
It's going to be a close game. But also, this is more about the Eagles. Like, we've been saying the show for a while.
They're going to blow out the
Eagles
Colts.
Have had everything go their way the first 8 weeks. Health-wise, turnover. They had 3 turnovers going into their 9th game of the year. That's unheard of.
All right, they lost the division game.
I'm not panicking. I'm saying they had so much go their way that now when kind of reality sets in, I want to see how this team responds and truly how good they are.
Do you remember a word that you texted me when the Colts offense was playing the Patriots? This was 2 weeks ago.
Embarrassing, feeble, pathetic. It was lifeless.
Feeble. You texted me feeble about 8 times.
Yeah, they suck.
So after one win, with Matt Ryan now being back, you think this is going to be a close game against the Eagles? I saw the line today, Eagles minus 6.5. Maybe I'm just an idiot when it comes to betting. I will lay that number.
Well, if the Eagles can't stop the run, I mean, close game, I'll tell you that right now. Colts got off their best running game of the year by far. Also, not to mention the quarterback is a huge difference. Sam Ehlinger's in over his head. Again, I don't want the Colts to win. I'm telling you right now, I would rather have Sam Ehlinger out there and lose every game.
No, you.
But now
you
that
want
Matt Ryan is back out there, he gives them a better shot to win. He's a competent quarterback.
You want them?
He
to
was
win.
Not the he was not the reason why the Colts were losing.
You want them to get to not 5-5-1?
No, I do not. No.
And then you'll say, oh, the playoff push is back on. Here comes the playoff push.
8-8-1 is the worst case scenario for this season, and they're cruising right towards it.
8 games.
Their schedule's not hard, not tough.
I
not
told you when Jeff Saturday took over, they were going to win 3 games max. 3.
I still hope to take the under. I think I set the half over under at half, and I think I took the under. So that's not working out, but.
Man. You're the reason why Jim Irsay is so rich. Because you're a sucker for his incompetence as an owner.
Sucker?
Yes.
I just didn't agree with the hire. I'm not saying that Jim Irsay knows what he's doing.
Hot take Kiki is a sucker. Lose. Now you're like Undertaker gif. Oh, the Colts are back.
When
oh,
did I
we're here. Oh, I'm intrigued.
Do you know what we talked about
you
on Sunday
were dead a week ago.
On
now
the
you're
Blue
intrigued.
Horseshoe Pod, the first thing we said was,
no, I don't
I
listen.
Have no idea.
I wasn't invited on that podcast. You know what? I don't want to hear about that podcast on that show anymore. I wasn't invited on that podcast. We're not mentioning. We're not giving you free plugs anymore
wow.
on
Ouch.
Your podcast. I wasn't brought on as a guest during Patriot Week. You went with some boring writer instead of me. So that you have to live with that now.
I don't think Andy's a writer, podcast host.
No, he was a writer originally. Yeah, he was a writer originally. Now he's transitioned to a talk show host. Boring. Boring. How long was that interview?
10 minutes.
Yeah.
10 minutes, give or take.
Are you gonna get on next week, Ben Volen?
Well, the Colts will play the Patriots anymore, so no need for Benny Boy.
Who are you guys doing? You know what? I'm not giving you the free publicity anymore.
The Eagles this week.
Yeah, not giving the free publicity.
Okay.
Jeez, Hickey. It's bad career decision after bad career decision. And now is getting intrigued by the Indianapolis Colts.
All I said was I'm intrigued. Not that they're going to win, not they're going to dominate, blow out the Eagles, guarantee, lock it up.
Give me a prediction.
I will say 24-13. Eagles.
24-13. What? So you're saying you lay the 6.5 points?
Like it's gonna be a close game. Like I think everyone's gonna say, oh,
24-13. What?
And the Colts aren't a good team. I think it's gonna be closer than
you're
the experts
all over
think.
The place.
Think.
You're all over the place. This team has really messed you up mentally. Jalen Hurts says this loss can be a good thing for the Eagles.
They say hungry dogs run faster, and you know when you win, they say it's hard to keep the hunger. And I think this team is in a position, and now we can dictate how we want to respond to this adversity, this obstacle in our way.
Hungry dogs run faster. You hear that, Jeff, Saturday? Real team's coming. Real team's playing you this weekend. You don't get the JV Las Vegas Raiders with Josh McDoofus McDaniels. Dennis Allen, another guy that's lost as a head coach. He says a QB change is possible. I guess he's seen enough of Andy Dalton.
I think we got to evaluate that.
You think? Know?
I think that's something that we need to look at, yeah.
And Jameis is a candidate to be ready to play, if that's what you
said. I believe so.
Now, Hickey, you were an advocate of going to Andy Dalton. With what you've seen out of Andy
that's
Dalton
right.
recently, is it time to now go back to Jameis Winston, flip-flopper?
Well, I'll say this. Jameis with his bad back can't be any worse, so... And that season's lost anyway, so what the hell?
It is.
They still have...
And you don't have your first-round draft pick.
Ian Book?
They don't have their first-round draft pick, though. Philadelphia has that pick.
Oh, yeah, they traded up last year.
Mm-hmm.
Bad luck.
So it's not like, oh, keep on playing Andy Dalton so we can improve that draft pick. Not that there's a big difference, but I would just go back to Jameis Winston. You scored 10 points last week against the Steelers. You got to do something else. Jerry Jones says Dak Prescott is the main reason. Now, who flip-flops more, Jerry Jones or you, Hickey? Before the start of the season, Jerry Jones, Zeke's going to be the reason we win this year. Now, Dak Prescott's the main reason why the Cowboys could win a Super Bowl. This 105.3 The Fan.
The strength that I look at of our chance to win a championship is Dak and his leadership at that position. Dak brings us the separator. Now, does that mean that Dak's going to win every game or make every comeback? Well, of course not. But by the same token, if you were constructing the possibility of competing for a Super Bowl, I would start right there with Dak.
Well, he's got to show you a big playoff moment, because last year he was the guy that couldn't get the ball off on the final snap. Jerry Jones on why the Cowboys haven't signed Odell Beckham Jr. yet.
In this particular case, start by asking, why is it that you're able to sign him? Ask that question. Why? Well, because he's not on the team at this time of year, a player of that caliber. That's rare. Trading's over. Well, it is because we're dealing with a situation where he's free, but potentially very capable of helping a team right now win and play and him play at a high level. But that'll tell you alone, it is a rarefied set of circumstances, and those are don't just happen, or this wouldn't be possible.
We just listened to 45 seconds of audio right there. Hickey, sometimes you're good at translating stupid, and so am I. Do you have any idea what went on there? Because I feel like I'm the teacher in Billy Madison, where I just say everyone's now dumber for hearing what we just heard right there.
Yeah, thanks to Jerry, because no one was aware of why Odell Beckham Jr. was unsigned, and no one was aware about the process of how you go about adding a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. to your team. So I'm glad that Jerry Jones laid it out that, you know, Odell Beckham's out there and trade season's done, but you could still add a guy like his caliber. Yeah. Thanks, Jerry.
Mr. Jones, what you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. That's what I have to say on that. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. That may be worse than the whole where you cut up your hand and your bachelor's degree and the liberal arts degree and what you learned from your previous education could help you put the hand back together, when he said that in the Dak Prescott negotiations. I just heard 45 seconds of gibberish. I literally have no clue what he was trying to say. We'll come on back. We'll see whose quarterback situations are solidified that we had questions about entering the year. Christian Watson from the Green Bay Packers is going to join us at the top of the hour.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Hickey has kind of evaluated the lay of the land of the NFL and has looked at the at one time controversial QB decisions and teams, do they have their franchise quarterback or not for the future? So we will evaluate that right now. 10 weeks into the season, week 11 starts tomorrow night or Thursday night with the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans. And we shall see who wins that game. I will say, though, for some reason, I don't know why today, and I did this in our pre-show meeting, Hickey, I keep on thinking today's Wednesday. Because I said, oh, Thursday Night Football is tomorrow night in the pre-show meeting. You're like, dude, it's Tuesday. And then on the air, I said, Thursday Night Football is tomorrow night. And I still failed to realize that today is Tuesday. Seems like a Wednesday today.
Wishful thinking. I like it.
I think it's because I do the Sunday show. So I feel like my week starts earlier than it actually does.
So Monday's Tuesday, Tuesday's Wednesday, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's fair.
It's been a problem.
That's fair. All right. Well, we'll try to get you through this Tuesday here at least. Let's talk about some teams with some questionable quarterback situations.
Maybe I'll call sick tomorrow. Maybe I'll take off tomorrow. So then I can actually feel like today's Wednesday.
Then your body clock resets. Okay.
Nah, I'll be here tomorrow.
How about the Chicago Bears? Is their quarterback situation, you think, settled or maybe still unsettled?
Justin Fields will be the starting quarterback next year. Settled. They got to go get him more talent. They made a move at the deadline, getting Chase Claypool with all the moves that they got rid of guys like Roquan Smith and Robert Quinn on the defensive side of the ball. They brought in offensive talent. Justin Fields has played great. He's got a win, but he's not really put in a position to win. He's impressed over the last few weeks. He's the starting quarterback next year, without a doubt, for the Chicago Bears.
Tua Tagovailoa came with a lot of questions, and this was the make-or-break year for Tua. Through 10 games, has he shown you enough to be the guy?
Yeah, the only concern you have about Tua is the durability concerns. There is no doubt about it, though, the way that he's playing right now. He's the guy, he's the franchise quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
Have the Commanders, for at least this season, found their quarterback or no? For the rest of this season.
It should be Heinicke next week. Is Heinicke going to be able to continue this for the rest of the year? As much as I can't stand Carson Wentz, I'm not ready to say that Taylor Heinicke is going to be starting every game for the rest of the season for the Commanders. Definitely next week, though, Taylor Heinicke.
The Jets with Zach Wilson came in with some questions after a rough year number one. And year number two so far, has he shown you anything to have you feel like he could be the guy?
Played really well up against the Buffalo Bills, but I got to see more. The Jets are in a weird spot. They usually don't have a lot of talent, and usually their young quarterback isn't put in a position to succeed. Zach Wilson's being put in a position to succeed. His season got delayed because of the injury that happened in the preseason. I got to see more, you got to have it moments from Zach Wilson where he responds and plays well before I could say that he's a franchise quarterback for the Jets. That's still to be determined.
I feel like we've been talking about this team when it comes to quarterback features for a while now, but we'll ask it again. Sure.
For a while.
Same guy, but every year the questions always come up, are they going to move off?
Oh, Las Vegas Raiders.
The Raiders and Derek Carr. How would you call their quarterback situation?
I'm so upset. You know, I just want everyone to care. You know what we go through to play? I just want everyone to care like I do. I love Josh, but I don't really love Josh. No,
they haven't figured out their quarterback situation. Because anytime when Derek Carr starts to show you he looks like he's the guy, he takes 10 steps backwards.
And the way that that contract is was given out, it's very easy for the Raiders to get out of it. I don't think he's the long-term answer for the Las Vegas Raiders. You know what Derek Carr is? He's an above-average quarterback. Is that the best way to say it? He's not bad. He's not great. I can't call him very good. He's just like above average. And that's not a great way to talk about a quarterback. Kind of in no man's land, really.
12, 13, right on the scale, probably for the most part, which
probably closer to 14.
Above average if you have 32 quarterbacks and 16 is the line.
Yeah. Like at his best, he could be 10.
Yes.
Most weeks he looks like 14 or 15.
And it looks like he'll be the fall guy then in Las Vegas for this just lost
year.
Now,
I do feel for him because I do think he cares. But eventually, you got to consistently go above and beyond. And I don't see that consistently from Derek Carr. He did that last year. This year, not so much.
How about the Giants and Daniel Jones?
He's back next year. The question just is, what does the contract look like? I don't think this is going to be a 4 or 5 year extension. You're probably trending in the direction of long-term extension to Saquon, franchise tag, or maybe a 1 or 2 year extension for Daniel Jones. I think he'll get another opportunity. But Joe Shane, when he joined us, he's pretty open. He said it's an ongoing evaluation. We like what we've seen from him so far. But when you say it's an ongoing evaluation, it does not mean that he's a lock and a guy that's set in stone to be back on the roster. I think he is back next year, but it's dependent on what that contract looks like.
How about the 8-1 Minnesota Vikings? Is their quarterback situation settled in your mind?
Well, Kirk's back next year regardless because of the extension and how much money it is. I think it's a year-by-year thing. And next year he'll be there because of the contract, and they clearly believe in him and O'Connell likes him. But you're basically asking me to look 2 years into the future, this year and then the year after that. I think Kirk Cousins has all the pieces this year to go win a Super Bowl. We'll see if he can do that in the next 2 years before you're saying he's getting another extension from the Minnesota Vikings.
How about the Seahawks? Has Geno Smith done enough to earn the job for next year?
Yes. But is he their long-term answer? No. He'll be starting next year for the Seahawks, I would think. But don't the Seahawks have to pretty much draft a quarterback? Wouldn't you think they're drafting a quarterback next year? Because remember, not off their own first pick, but off the Denver Broncos first round pick, you would probably think.
You would think, yes. But maybe Pete Carroll says, we're a good team, let's go for it and use, you know, that pick to get another receiver or an offensive lineman or defensive back. I think it's tough to read what the Seahawks actually, you know, will do with that. What, top 7 pick guaranteed?
And Geno could actually be a hot commodity. Right? Like Teddy Bridgewater played well in 5 games when he was replacing Drew Brees. Remember they went 5-0?
That's right.
And like his stats weren't great, but he weathered the storm. Geno Smith's actually playing really good football. And he's a free agent after this year. Wouldn't surprise me if a team gave him 3 years and maybe he's somewhere else.
Good for Geno, cashing in. And finally, how about the 49ers? Is their quarterback situation settled in your mind?
No. It's been inconsistent. They have all the makings of a team that could be a Super Bowl team, but they haven't played consistent this year. You're asking me Jimmy G, right?
Well, you could say, hey, that Trey Lance, like, if you don't see enough of Jimmy G, you say, I feel good about Jimmy G next year, or Trey Lance next year, sorry.
Right now, I would say that because for Jimmy G to be back, they're either going to have to be in the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. And I would think Jimmy G is going to be elsewhere next year. You'll finally have a divorce there with the way that they had agreed upon the contract and he reduced his salary and all that. And I think with all that they invested in Trey Lance, next year it's really Trey Lance's team. I'm thinking Jimmy G's elsewhere. And you think of potential destinations for Jimmy G, anyone in the NFC South, Panthers, Falcons, Saints. Now, some of those teams could be drafting a quarterback, so some will get out of the running. If Brady leaves, maybe Jimmy G goes to Tampa Bay. Trying to think where else for Jimmy, like the Giants wouldn't be a bad destination for Jimmy Garoppolo if Daniel Jones gets more money elsewhere. Anywhere else for Jimmy Garoppolo off the top of the cabeza?
Would he reunite with Joshua Daniels?
I think they're going to take a run at Brady. Now, if they don't get Brady, yeah, you.
Like, is he an upgrade or Derek Carr?
At that rate, I think Jimmy G's better than Derek Carr, but I would just keep Derek Carr at that rate. I don't think that's something that goes, oh, wow, now you're a Super Bowl contender with Jimmy Garoppolo.
But yeah, the familiarity there, maybe that's what Joshua Daniels is looking for. I don't know. I would agree, but you never know with that guy.
You know what's crazy? This would never be the case. And Russell Wilson's a better quarterback, but Jimmy G's played better than Russell Wilson this year.
If the Broncos make that signing,
they obviously wouldn't, but with all the moves that they've recycled, you're always just programmed. Now they have their guy who's not playing like the guy. You always just think, oh, yeah, who could the Broncos go get? Oh, wait, yeah, they have Russell Wilson, and that's where my brain did go in that conversation.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a timeout. We'll come on back. When we return, Christian Watson from the Green Bay Packers will be joining us. Are the Pack back? We'll discuss next.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.